It's blinked by. I have to say that. But I've noticed some things over 11 plus years. I've watched the cycles. I've seen the cycles. If there's anyone aware of the cycles of the church, I'm keenly aware of them. And this church, unlike a lot of churches that I've, from pastors I've talked to, has a unique cycle. Most churches go through what is known as the summer slump, where attendance drops off and people are going on vacations and all of that during the summer. And that's typically a normal church cycle. But then when fall time comes, everything seems to boost back up. And, you know, people going to school, they stop traveling and all that. For whatever reason, this church has a slightly different cycle. For whatever reason, we seem to have a fall slump. I've not been able to totally identify it. Maybe it's the busyness of going back to school and people get busy and therefore, church attendance drops in the fall. I want you to know, as pastor, I am fighting against that with every fiber that I have. Because I do not believe that it is the will of God, the church, do that. So I'm going to challenge each of you to be faithful in the fall. If there's someone that is not here, make sure you pray for them. Seek God for them. Don't judge them. Don't look down upon them because they missed. Pray for them. There's probably a reason. Make an extra effort to invite somebody to the house of the Lord. Make an extra effort to ask someone to go to church with you. I'm pastoring right now. I want to say something real quick. The Apostle Andrew, before he was ever the Apostle Andrew, he met Jesus. And he is the very first one to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. Matter of fact, he was the first to verbalize. We always give Peter the credit for it. That Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." It was Andrew who went to Peter, who said, "We have found the Messiah." But I want you to understand something about Andrew. Andrew said, "I am not going to follow Jesus alone. I'm not going to go with him by myself. Before I go to Jesus, and as I go to Jesus, my desire is I want to take somebody with me. I don't want to go there on my own. I don't want to go there by myself." The desire of Andrew was, I want to take somebody with me. That should be our desire. Because if we understand the will of Jesus Christ, the will of God was to seek and to save that which was lost. And if I'm going to fulfill his will, I'm going to fulfill that. I've made an effort. I'm tired of coming to church by myself. I want to find somebody I can take with me. I want to find somebody that can go with me. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why the efforts are being made.
Let's move to Genesis chapter 38. I'm going to preach something this morning. I felt in my spirit to preach it a few weeks ago. And it was pointed, I felt like God wanted me to preach it on this day. It comes out of our Bible study on Wednesday nights. If you're not part of that Bible study on Wednesdays, I would encourage you to be a part of that. We dig deep into the Word of God. We are walking down the bloodline of Jesus. So I would encourage you to come and be a part of that Bible study. Thank you, Brother Fleming. I got one amen. But it was out of this I was teaching about this subject, and felt like I just something hit me while I was teaching it. And I knew that wasn't going to be the last time I ever touched it. I wasn't so sure that I would preach it so soon. But I did feel to preach this. And actually, it was on our way home. We were talking about it, and Olivia asked me a question. And hopefully today, I'm going to answer that. And hopefully today, by the time I'm done, everything will make sense and be clear. Genesis chapter 38 and verse 29. No, I'm not going to reteach my notes. I'm going to hit some parts of it. But I feel a certain direction today. And I feel like I'm going to help somebody today that's been struggling in your own life. You've been struggling with your worthiness and with your ability to get to the place God wants you to be. You feel trapped. You feel bound. You feel as though you'll never be able to break through. In Genesis chapter 38 and verse 29, it says this: And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. And she said, How hast thou broken forth? Just because I'm not reading the full text, I'll tell you the quick story. There were twins here in the mama's belly. And one of them started to come out. And his hand came out, and then it was withdrawn. And the other son came out and became the firstborn of the family. And the mother said this: How hast thou broken forth? In other words, you were not supposed to be the firstborn. You were not supposed to be the one to receive the inheritance. You were supposed to be the second in line. You were supposed to be the tail and not the head, when God said, I've called you to be the head and not the tail. She says, How hast you broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore, his name was called Perez. The word Perez simply means breakthrough. The breaker of the breach. And so I want to preach this morning on this title: Born for a Breakthrough. Born for a Breakthrough. I want to tell you today that you've been born for a breakthrough. You have not been born to be defeated, to be conquered, to be bound. You have been born for a breakthrough. Jesus, God, I feel your presence. God, I know, Lord, that you have a word that you want to speak to us today. Lord, I know, Lord, what I feel in my heart and what I felt for several weeks. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to preach your word like I feel it in my heart. God, that I could get it out, Lord, the way I feel you speaking it to me, the way I feel you dealing with me, Lord. And I pray that I could help somebody here today. Lord, that one who may be struggling, God, I pray, Lord, that you would open our understanding to understand your word, to receive your word, and to trust your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that someone would grab a hold of it and grab a hold of that promise. God, allow your anointing to be upon me today. Lord, I need your help. God, I need your touch and I need your anointing. God, I ask for it right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look to the one beside you and tell them you were born for a breakthrough. Throughout human history, there have been moments in time that have marked significant changes where the way things were will never be the same. We just got done walking past 911. Things will never be the same after 911. I don't care how much we want them to go back to prior to 911. They will never, this world will never be the same. There have been moments in time that have marked significant changes where the way things were will never be again. And the way things are will be drastically changed. These are important things. They are significant and they are real. Life was never the same once Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Life was never the same when Henry Ford came out with the automobile. Life was never the same when computers were invented and the internet came to be. Life was never the same. And we could name invention after invention. And the list could grow longer and longer. But life was never the same when those 13 colonies declared independence against the British Empire. Life was never the same. Life was never the same when the North defeated the South in the Civil War. Life was never the same. World War I and World War II, life was never the same. All of these have one common theme and one common definition. They all were marked by a breakthrough, an act, or an instance of removing or surpassing an obstruction or restriction. Where there was once something that was holding, or that was binding, or that was restricting, or that was obstructing, and it was broken through. Every one of these instances marked the overcoming of a stalemate. To where one side isn't just up against the other side, and you can't tell which side is winning, and you can't tell who's in charge, and you can't tell who's in control, and you can't tell who's winning and who's victorious. Let me tell you, a breakthrough defines who is victorious. A breakthrough defines who's in charge and who's in command and who's in control. A breakthrough. Amen.
It is a breakthrough that changes things forever. It is a breakthrough that defines a new way or a new era. It is a breakthrough that one side is victorious and one side is defeated. And I have come here this morning to tell someone that you were born to have a breakthrough, that you were born to be victorious, that you were born. You were not born to never know who's winning and who's losing. You were not born to be defeated. You were not born to live a life that was bound, and that was restricted, and that was held back. Oh, I liked what Brother Anderson was saying. You were not born to have limits. Hallelujah. Those limitations are placed on us by our actions, by our intentions, by our walking in ways that are not according to the Word of God. Those restrictions are placed on us by an enemy that wants to keep us bound, that wants to keep us defeated, that wants... Let me tell you, there is an enemy that wants to keep this church bound, that wants to keep this church defeated, that wants to keep this church small, and he wants to keep this church insignificant. But I am preaching that this church has been called and has been destined to have a breakthrough. We've been destined to break through this community. Just as you in your personal life, just as you in your walk with God have not been called to be bound and to be insignificant to the world around you, you have not. You have been called for a breakthrough. It was in Psalms 139 that the psalmist David wrote, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right." I don't care what your opinion is. God has created you marvelously and beautifully and wonderfully. See, there's too many people that are walking around that are questioning, why was I even born? What was my purpose? Why was I made? Why was I created? See, Jeremiah 29 said this, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." God said, "I have an expected end." He told that same prophet, "Before you was ever made, I knew you. Before you was ever formed, I called you." And it was in the book of Genesis that there was a man named Judah, who was the fourth son of Jacob. We find that he had three sons. And in the process of time, these sons grow older, and Judah gives his first son a wife by the name of Tamar. In this story, the first son dies. He has no children. So the custom of that day was that Tamar would go to the second son, and he would then have a child through her, and then we would continue on the family line or the family lineage. But Tamar, as she was given to the second son, he dies also, and there's no child. And so it's here that I can just see Judah saying, whoa, I'm not so sure I want to give her another one of my sons. I've only got one left. And his wife had passed away. Ooh, I don't know if I'm... So he tells Tamar, he says, Tamar, why don't you just go? And when my next son, when my third son's old enough, I'll give her. I'll give my son to you in a little while. With no intention of ever following through with that. He had no intention of her ever marrying that third son. He was just like, I gotta get her out of here before my whole family dies. He's blaming her. And so when Tamar finds out that Judah is coming to her town, she dresses like a harlot, like a prostitute. And Judah goes to her and has relations with her. Now, I want to make this very clear today that God does not condone sin, and God was not pleased with Judah. Because not only does he go in to a prostitute and have relations outside of marriage, he went into his daughter-in-law, which was also against the law. And so it is here that we find Tamar becomes pregnant. And it would appear by all accounts that this was a curse in the waiting. That there was trouble ahead and a mess to come. If there was ever a child, if there was ever a child that was going to be born with a stigma, it was this child. If there was a child who was going to be born with no future, it was this child. If this was a child, if there was a child who could not be proud of his heritage, it was this child. He could not be proud of his father. He could not be proud of his mother. He couldn't tell people, boy, I'm so glad my dad and I'm so glad of my mom. They were such Christian and godly people. They were such... And if there was a man who would wrestle with the fact that I was born a mistake... That I was even born, it would be Perez. And as I began to think on this subject, it became clear to me how many people out there who cannot be proud of their father, they cannot be proud of their mother, they cannot be proud of their heritage, and they question in their minds, why was I even born? I must have been a mistake. I must. They look at their heritage. And they look at the lifestyle of their families. And they think, I was born a mistake. Now, I'm going to bring something in here that... little personal reference. Some of you have heard this. Probably, a number of you have probably heard this. Now, my parents are godly people. They've always been, as far as I know, and as far as I've ever been, as far as I've ever seen or witnessed, I have godly parents. But I know what it's like to grow up and feel less than worthy. I know what it's like to grow up and feel less than other people. My brother makes it all too clear every time he gets the opportunity. Matter of fact, I was just at the campground and my brother and I were there, and I started talking to him, and he introduced me to the speaker who spoke at the meeting. And so we got to talking about it, and we were discussing it, and we were going over it and just kind of getting to know each other. And my brother decides that now's the time to tell the story that he tells to everybody he gets the chance to tell. There was a time it kind of bothered me. Today I laugh at it. He says, yeah, you know, you don't know my sister, but her name is Angela Marie Ellis. And my name is Thomas Matthew Ellis. But when Joe was born, his dad named, you're laughing, you know this story. His dad named him Joe Ellis. I couldn't even be named Joseph. I wasn't given a middle name. My name, as I am known all over Ohio, is just Joe Ellis. And everybody, when they meet me, who has had any conversation with my brother, refers to me as just Joe Ellis. Hi, next week, next Friday, we'll be preaching or teaching down in Columbus, Ohio. Some of you know Brother Cisco, who's down there, and they've asked me to come and to teach down there. And so I'm going down there, and so I'm in the men's retreat. I'm walking, you know, we did our offering, and I'm walking back, and he was there, and I just shook his hand, just, you know, out of respect, and then, you know, and he leans in and says, I hear you're coming to our church. He's retired. He has his son-in-law pastor's there now. And he says, I hear you're coming to our church. And I said, yeah. He goes, you're just Joe Ellis, right? Yeah, that's me. I will forever be just Joe Ellis. You see, for a while, I always felt, for a long and a large portion of my life, I always felt less than others. I always felt, and even sometimes I still wrestle with those thoughts and moments of weakness and times when I get insecure. Sandwiched in the middle of a great sister and a great brother is just Joe Ellis. One who's not quite as good as they are. Who's not quite as talented. Who's not quite as gifted. And for a long time, I felt who's not quite as loved. And you question God. God, why? Why was this the case? Why was I born this way? Was I a mistake? Was my life a mistake? If there was a man who could feel that way, Perez would have been that man. Even his mother said, how did you come out first? You weren't supposed to. You weren't supposed to be that person. You weren't supposed to be in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. You weren't supposed to be the one to whom everything was supposed to flow through. You weren't supposed to be the one of the heritage. It was not supposed to go to you. And so she named him Perez, the breaker of the breach. And the devil looks at you. And the devil laughs at you. And the devil mocks you. And the devil scorns you. And he tells you, you are not supposed to. You were not born with it. You were not given enough. And you don't have enough in your own life. And you have this stigma about you. And you have this addiction in your life. And you have this trouble in your life. And you have this issues in your life. And you will never break through of this. And you will always be bound. And you... And it came to pass that as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? You will find that after this moment, there is no record of anything Perez does. You will not find a record of anything Perez does. It almost appears as if he is lost in Scripture and he lives a nondescript life. Could possibly a life of shame and a life of ridicule and a life of living with the mistakes of his parents and the feeling that there is no future and that his birth was nothing but a mistake. But that is until sometime later when a man by the name of Boaz and a woman by the name of Ruth are married. And it's here at the marriage of Boaz and Ruth that a proclamation is made. Ruth chapter 4, verse 11, and all people were gathered at the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which to build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem, and let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. What we find here is they tell them, they say, I want your house to be like the house of Perez. Well, what was Perez? I thought he was a mistake. I thought there was nothing special about him. I thought he lived with shame and with guilt. And I thought he felt less than everybody else. But yet they said, I want your house to be like their house. Oh, they weren't talking about the sin. They weren't talking about the mistakes. They weren't talking about the issues. What they were talking about was the breakthrough. And they said, I want your house to be like the breakthrough of Perez. I want you to break through and to be victorious. I don't want you to be bound by sin, by guilt, by the torments, by the addictions, by the troubles, by your own insecurities, by your own fears, by your own hurts, by your own troubles. I don't want you bound by that. I want your house to be like the house of the breakthrough. I'm here to tell you that God wants to give your house a breakthrough. What was it about Perez that is praised here? Why be like the house of Perez? The Bible gives us no knowledge of anything Perez did except his birth. He broke through. And in Ruth chapter 4, verse 18, we get a genealogy. And these are the genealogy, the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nashon. Nashon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. It was this King David that became the greatest king Israel ever had. It was this David that was the only man with the title, a man after God's own heart. It was this David that defeated the giant Goliath. Do you think that's a coincidence? Let your house be like the house of Perez. And everybody is standing there afraid. And everybody is standing there not sure of what to do. And everybody is scared because here's this big giant and here's this formidable army and nobody wants to face him. But stepping out is a young man who just doesn't know any better. All he knows is there was a prophecy spoken over my family that our house was to be like the house of Perez. And there was a man who could stand there and face that giant and say, oh, you may come to me with a sword and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. He was willing to step and be the breaker and have the breakthrough so the army could be victorious. Oh, somebody in this house needs to grab a hold of this, that God has. You were not born by mistake. You are not here by mistake. Your life is not a mistake. Oh, but I've made bad choices. Don't we all? Oh, but I've sinned against God. Don't we all? Oh, but I've done some things that I'm not proud of. Aren't we all? But he says, I want your house to be like the house of Perez. Because let me take this one step further. Because in the line of Perez, or in the line of Perez, came the one who it was prophesied. In the line of Perez came the one to which it was prophesied, for unto us a child is born. And unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Let me tell you what was established. God said, from the house of Perez, I'm going to make sure that every house has this breakthrough in it. Because of his increase, there will be no end. That means it doesn't matter what obstacle is in front of you. It doesn't matter what trouble is in front of you. It doesn't matter what temptation is facing you. It doesn't matter what sin has you bound. It doesn't matter what addiction you're fighting. It doesn't matter. It's been put in you that there is a breakthrough in your bloodline.
I like this. Of the increase of his government, and peace shall there be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with just judgment and justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. He said, yeah, David was a good king. Oh, but wait a minute. There's a king coming who's much mightier than he. There's a king coming who's going to establish something forever. Psalms 53 talks about him, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes. The breakthrough is there for you.
Amen.
Oh, but you don't understand how I've been born. You don't understand. What's taking place in my life? You don't understand where I've been and what I've done. No, I don't have to. And no, you don't have to even tell me. Because I know that from the throne of heaven is a merciful God who is reaching down with a hand of mercy. Who says, I don't care how you've been born. I don't care what your bloodline is. I don't care what your heritage is. I want to give you a new birth. I want you to be born again of water and of spirit. I want you to have a new birth by which you can take on the breakthrough.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If you have ever been born again of water and of spirit, you have taken on the bloodline of Jesus. And part of that bloodline is the power to overcome sin.
Amen. Amen.
It's been put in you. It's been placed in you. Let's all stand. I don't know what you may have struggled with, and I don't know what thoughts may have gone through your mind, and I hope, Olivia, that it makes more sense here today than it did previous. I don't know what you feel has held you back from being able to be what God has wanted you to be. I don't know what that might be. Every one of you has your reasons. Every one of you has your thoughts on that. And no doubt in your quiet times, in your quiet moments, you wrestle with those thoughts. Because I am certain of the fact that God deals with us and he's talking to us. And he's saying, Joe, I want you to step out in faith. And I'm like, but God, you don't understand. I don't even have a middle name. Now, you all think it's funny. You didn't grow up with it. I'm kidding. But God, you don't understand. I've been less than everybody else. I haven't been treated like other people. I haven't had the opportunities that others have had. I've
I haven't been gifted like this one and gifted like that one, and I can't do those things. And we come up with all of our sets of limitations, and we come up with all of our reasons as why. And God's dealing with us, and God's talking to us, and he's saying, I want you to, but God, you don't understand. When the fact of the matter is, we don't understand that it's been placed in us a breakthrough. A breakthrough has been put in your life that you don't have to deal with that. See, I can talk about the Just Joe thing because it don't bother me anymore. The way I look at it, I'm an icon now. There's only one of me. My brother is spreading it all over the world. And I'm world famous now. I am Just Joe Ellis. See, that just used to bother me. That just used to say, you're not as good as everybody else. That just used to say, you're not capable of doing what they can do, and you're not as good as they are, and you are less than them, and this is, and just defined who I was until I came to the realization that when I'm weak, he is made strong. And I've come to realize that my limitations and my insecurities and my feelings of self-doubt have only done to position me to a place where I have come to rely not on me and not on my abilities, but I have come to rely on the power of an almighty God. And I can step into my time alone with him, and I can say, Jesus, this is Just Joe Ellis. And I know that I'm not this, and I know that I'm not that, and I know I'm not good enough here, but I also know that you've created me. And if you will take what I am, and if you will use it, I know you can make something great of it. Because it's not of any works that I will ever do. Because I will never glory in his presence. Because I've come to the realization to everything I am, everything I'll ever be, everything I even hope to be will only be because of him and will never be because of me. I'm just Joe. But you're God Almighty. But you're Everlasting Father. But you're Prince of Peace. And of your kingdom, there is no end. And someone today, if you've been wrestling with that, and you've been tormented by that, and that's bothered you, tell you, just present it to him. Amen. Just give it to him. Don't look at your hang-ups and your mistakes and your mess-ups as your final resting place. No, they're only that place that will position you to where you recognize, I need an almighty God, and in your weakness he is made strong. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Someone today needs to present your life to God. Give him your hang-ups. Give him your troubles. Give him your trials. Give him your insecurities. Give him your fears. Give him your torments. Let him have it all. Let him take those sins and remove them as far as the east is from the west. These altars are open right now. These altars are open right now for that one who says, I want to be more than a conqueror. To that one that I want him to be greater in me. Come on, these altars are open. I can't believe that I'm the only one that's ever struggled with that. I can't believe I'm the only one who's ever struggled with the fact that I'm not good enough. Questioned my life and questioned my purpose and questioned why I was even put here and why I'm even in existence and questioned.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me.